Dude, I've been anti-socks for all my life.
Shut up and sit down.
Welcome back to the Relatively Speaking Podcast. We are recording on Friday. It is August 11th. I am your co-host, Jared Mintz, and joining me on this lovely Friday, my partner in rhyme, getting ready for the weekend, Big Bad Joseph Nardone. Joe, how the hell are you?
That is the best, most positive opening introduction you've ever given me. Not even partner in crime, just Big Bad Joseph Nardone. I have a family reunion on Saturday that I don't necessarily want to go to. However, my wife already signed the check to whatever the donation you have to give to go. My father's in charge of the bocce ball tournament, which means I'm also going to be his partner. Which means he called me today to figure out how we could scheme and cheat to win.
Nice.
Yeah, I haven't played bocce ball, whatever it's called. I haven't played it like eight or nine years. So I told him, we're not going to win off skill. And he goes, no, I know. He's like, I'm not going either. But he's in charge of making the brackets and keeping track of everything. So he goes, how could we cheat? I'm like, Dad, I haven't been thinking about this that much. So that angle on how we're gonna steal from family is that's on you.
Is your father-in-law going to be there?
No, this is on my dad's side. It's going to be the Nardone side. So, it'll be the only people I'm in action, oddly enough, the only people I'll actually know there, because my sisters aren't going, will be my father, my godmother, my grandparents, and then my wife knows more people somehow at the Nardone family reunion than I do.
Interesting. I ask because I want Ron stories. I live for Ron sports stories.
These will be as bad because my father is, he's a special man. I love my dad, but,
shout out to Mr. Nardone.
Yeah, he's Joey
Senior, right? He's also a Joseph.
I'm definitely the third. He's junior. Oh. Yeah, he's a junior. Even though his friends and they all call me junior. It's very weird. He's me coming on Monday to talk about how my father was whatever his plan ends up being for us angling to steal family members' money. I'm interested to see the route this goes.
Can't wait. I have a lot of questions coming off here. One, this is just going to be quick. Don't respond to it. You should think about rebranding. Joe Nardone Jr. sounds real badass. Two, how much money's on the line here?
Well, I asked him, how much? He goes, he's in charge of it. He's like, I don't know any of these people, so I haven't talked to anybody except for a couple people, and they said they're open. I go, open to one. He said, the amount of money. I'm like, Dad, I don't want to lose a ton. He's like, no, we'll cheat. I'm like, Dad, cheating them all, how can we cheat? People are going to see us stink. So I have no idea. I told my wife I'm going to bring $50 in cash. Hopefully that's enough.
Yeah, I don't know how you could cheat here, but good luck.
I imagine with the paperwork. I don't know.
Who is the person that's going to be there that you want to beat the most?
I don't know anybody. I mean this. I'm going to know my father, my godmother, my immediate family, my wife and kids, and my grandparents. I don't know any of these other people.
Any shot of a heel turn and you doing your dad dirty and, throwing him through a barbershop window.
No, 0% chance because he'll be one of the few people I will end up talking to at this event at all.
Interesting. All right. Well, you have a good time. Shout out to the Nardones. You guys make a great tag team. I'm glad I prefaced you the way I did because it led to good things. That's exciting. I really look forward to that. Joe, I guess it's time we start our podcast.
The recap of this event will probably be far better than this preface of the show. Preface.
I'm pretty into it. I'm seeing a lot of montages of you guys cheating, doing a couple high-low double high fives, kicking somebody in the back of the leg and blaming it on somebody else, probably crop dusting a little bit in front of an older lady. This is going to be good.
I don't even remember how to play bocce ball, but I do imagine my father would be kicking the ball somehow to try to make it better for us.
Good luck, man. Yeah, that sounds about right, the way you can cheat here. So I'm interested in seeing how it goes. I'm going to predict it goes poorly. You guys lose early. You don't even cheat, and you probably get into a fight. That's my prediction.
I don't say fight. I do think he angles for us to be bought back into the tournament after we lose in the first game.
Interesting. Wow. So you're going to wind up spending a lot of money, not even cheating. But correct. At the end of the day, donating to a good cause.
I don't think so. I believe for the bocce ball tournament, whoever wins just walks away with the cash.
Oh, so there is no good cause here.
No. Well, unless my father... I told my father the smart thing to do is here is to take a cut for running it. So then that'll pay for our participation in the tournament. So, he's in charge of it, and he's in charge of all the paperwork and keeping track of the teams. If it's a $10 buy-in, he gets to keep a dollar for every $10. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
For doing all the work. And then, that'll pay for ourselves, and then that's a win, and we just get to have fun and play bocce ball.
That sounds awesome.
But
man.
He wants to win money, which is, like, he wants to win whatever, like, if the grand prize total is $100 or if there's 10 teams, he's going to want the $100. So he won't be satisfied with a free game of dodgeball.
Of course, who would? I mean, look, you're giving
normal
up a week.
People would. Normal people would. Normal people don't call their sons and be like, how are we going to angle the cheap family?
Well, this probably isn't the first or the last time this will be said. Nardone ain't normal, so you guys just Nardone the heck out of that thing on Sunday.
That's true. I hope not everybody else is there.
They might be. It's feasible. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get too far into this. We're going to have to leave some for the recap on Monday, which I'm really looking forward to. I almost want to, like, ask you Sunday how this goes, but I'll give myself something to look forward to after the weekend that I have coming up. I actually have a bachelor party this weekend, and
strippers.
Yeah, man. Pray for me. I don't know about all that because my wife, family, and feasibly employer listen to the show, but we're going to have a nice time, have some adult beverages. Shout out to everybody involved in that debauchery.
Yeah, seriously. Are you guys traveling?
No follow-up questions. No follow-up questions.
I'm just going to ask, are you guys traveling or staying in the city?
Yeah, we're going to be in Tampa.
For real?
Yep, Tampa in August. Great idea.
You know what people love in Tampa?
I don't want to know what people
pirates.
Love in Tampa. No, they don't. Where does that come from?
No, real, like real pirates.
Well, I mean, they do have the Tampa Bucks.
Yeah, they love pirates. Like it's
real pirates? How do you know? Tell me more about
historically,
this.
Historically, oh man. I'm not super versed on this, but yeah, like there's a history of pirates in the Tampa area.
Joe, if I meet a pirate, I'll let you know how it goes. Like I said before, I found out about this pirate situation. Pray for me, and yeah, we'll update on Monday. With that said, I guess we should talk about some stuff today. It's not going to be sports, because what the hell is there to talk about?
Well, there's sports at the very end.
I don't want to talk about Bonnie Bernstein's bad tweets, even though she almost made us bring back bad tweets, because, you know, college kids who are also athletes can't get paid, and if they complain about it, they're whiny, rah, 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 no bad tweets, no college sports. Joe, this came pretty close to being the college sports episode. We could have done. But we don't want to be those guys. We don't want to turn everybody off by complaining about people complaining about people complaining. That's not a good look for us. Instead, we're going to flex our creativity. And Joe, I guess I'll let you take it away.
Real quick, let's get our sponsors to get a word in. Yeah, so it's a concept show. Basically, we do these from time to time. We have the Tom Cruise special. We've done other ones. I always blank on the other concept shows. Some of them are unintentional concept shows, where we plan on talking about sports and then it just ends up being about whatever. This show, oddly enough, we're going to create two shows, television shows. We've been on a weird, both Jared and I have been talking back and forth about what shows to binge. I just finished watching The Leftovers. Good show. Jared and I talked about how, and we don't really blame the writers or the directors as much as we do with the limitation of the show. Yeah, the circumstance of the show. Like, they basically abandoned character development, characters, not character development, specifically in season 3. But it had great promise, and overall it was a really good show. We often ask on the show, like, oh, if you could reboot, like, during absurd questions, if you could reboot any television show in the history of TV, what would it be? And it's always whatever. So we're just going to create a show. Just flat out create a show. And this works especially well for me because I'm a field fiction writer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thanks, Jared. So, my first show idea is basically based off two of my short stories that I had previously written, and Jared's actually the star in both of them.
Which is frightening, baffling, and hopefully appealing to the masses, especially the ladies.
Well, the thing is, it's not your names in it, but it's not, the character is not you. The hardest thing about writing fiction is after you create characters' names, is remembering what characters, what name-wise. So, like, it's always better to base them off versions of people. But I got super lazy for this one and just straight up named them Jared Mintz. So,
name them. Like, there's multiple
well,
Jared
just name them. So, the idea is, it's called United Arcadia Flight, and the number keeps changing every episode. You start at 800, and then episode 2 is 801. And I know that doesn't really work up numerically, but that could be part of the appeal of the show, the weird numerical structure. But it's, like, lost in a plane, right? So,
which I never saw Lost, but I'm going to take your word for
well,
it.
Well, you've actually read the short story. So in the first short story, Jared's actually doesn't seem like the main character. The main character seems like the current pilot. They're flying to a certain destination. Doesn't really matter where in the pilot episode. You don't even know to need to know where. And when he lands, he goes back to tell, he tells on the, whatever, the speaker, hey, we've landed, blah, blah, blah. And he doesn't hear anything. He goes back. And all his passengers, but five people, are gone. One of them that's there is Jared's character, and there's a couple other side characters, but this is very early, and we're talking developmental part of our television show, so we don't have all the characters' names. By the end of the episode, they fly back. The pilot starts, as they're flying back, Jared's sitting in the front of the cockpit with the pilot as the pilot's trying to explain, you don't understand. Hey, I can't believe it's happening again. The pilot's letting on that he knows kind of idea what's happening. They land. There's military personnel. Well, it looks like military personnel there to greet them where they're on their return trip. And the pilot says, hey, just don't say anything. I got this. I got this. And the episode closes with the pilot getting shot and a guy in a black suit coming up to Jared. And be like, I hope you know how to fly. And he locks him into the plane.
Where does this guy come from to shoot the pilot? Has he been on the plane the whole time?
No. He's waiting on the return trip. Like what I said, it looks like military personnel that are there. Right. So the basic idea is here that a entire cabin group of people vanish on a trip to wherever. Jared's not one of them, along with four other people, who will be like the co-stars of the television.
The majority of this episode on the plane so that there's stuff going on in between the flights? Because I need to know what's happening in between the flights.
Right. So the majority of the show is going to be
playing. Like an audio book.
Well, here's the thing. Like, on my second short story, Jared develops a relationship with the person over the radio, like the air traffic control person. So you
played
also.
Played by Jessica Alba.
Oh, most definitely.
She's agreed.
So you will see that side of it, and then she'll become like the second lead. So, like, you'll see her story as well go, and that'll be outside the plan. Like, her at work, her at home, her trying to figure it out from her end what's happening as she tries to help Jared figure out. He's this mysterious guy in a suit and whatever mysterious company or government he works for keeps making Jared make these trips.
I think that we should kind of tie Dark Angel into this and make it kind of like this is a spinoff of Dark Angel, but we don't introduce the Dark Angel until later. Like, we don't even know it's Jessica Alba.
I don't know. I've never seen Dark Angel.
It's fine. You don't need to see Dark Angel. She was like I'm not going to explain Dark Angel. This is where we get in trouble, is we start talking about things that are 18 years old, that weren't good when they came out, that nobody cared about.
Well, people like Lost. At least I remember Lost is like Lost in the
right.
plane.
I'm the one getting us in trouble here, not you, by bringing up Dark Angel, but that was Jessica Alba's first thing. If you don't know who Jessica Alba is, stop listening to the show, unsubscribe, write us a bad review, do whatever you have to do, get all the way out of my life.
Well, who would you want to play you? And then, but again, with the obvious note that even though the character's name is Jared Mintz, it's actually not based off you.
So what kind of guy is he then? If he's not based on me, is he just like a big nerd who looks stupid?
In my short story, he was...
Has wonderful hair? What is he like?
Well, in my short story, he was based off you because I believe in the second book, you were looking for your then fiance. I don't really remember. I wrote that short story like 2 years ago. He's loosely based off you. So he could be, professionally, he could work in the social media world. He's just an average guy, good person, good moral compass. So yeah, who would you want to play Jared Mintz?
I mean, Tom Hardy, obviously.
Well, let's be realistic here. We're not going to have a big budget.
Here's the thing. Right, we're not going to have a big budget, and Tom Hardy can't really play that role because, like, you know, he'd probably just kill the guy in the suit immediately, and that's the end of your show.
Right, we need somebody that looks nervous, like a very normal, average person. Like, basically, like a Colin Hanks type, I was thinking.
You know what's funny? We've been binge-watching Mad Men, and Colin Hanks is on it. Like, I just got to Colin Hanks' character. I guess it's not interesting at all, but that happens. I don't know. Who's an average-looking guy that could play nervous well? That's a good question.
Well, not even nervous. It's just like, who looks not like a movie star, right?
So I Googled normal-looking actors, and a list comes up of Steven Seagal, Nicolas Cage, Hilary Swank, Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson, Kristen Stewart, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and this is the kicker, DJ Qualls. And if you don't know who DJ Qualls is, you can also unsubscribe and hate us or whatever.
Go ahead. I was going to say, Kristen Stewart gets a lot of hate, but she's become, like, apparently a really good director.
Mazel. Yeah. I think she's Jewish, so that mazel may have been correct. She may not be Jewish. Either way, it's a mazel. I'm going to stick with DJ Qualls here. Not that I want him to play me, but I'm going to go back to, God, I'm aging myself here terribly, Road Trip, which was the first movie DJ Qualls was in. And I'm going to look up the actor's name. He's been in, like, three movies, I feel like. Has not had a successful career. But, I mean, in relation to me, I'm sure he has because he's an actor. Paulo Costanzo played Ruben, who was, like, the stoner, insightful guy in Road Trip. That's who I want to play me because I feel like he was nervous, but he was also smart and had his stuff together. Let's get that guy in this movie.
Well, is he, like, an actual good actor?
Oh, I don't know, man.
Bob, what about Giovanni Ribisi? I can never pronounce his
Giovanni
name.
Giovanni Ribisi. So that's why you're doing this. So you could put Giovanni Ribisi in a name. You'd think you could say his name by now, the way you always mention him.
He's one of my favorite character actors ever.
He's good. He'd play that role of being taken hostage really well, probably. I feel like we could still do a little bit better.
We either need a movie star that's like falling, like their star's fading.
Right.
Or we just pluck one back from obscurity, like how Mr. Robot got Christian Slater out of nowhere. Or we need to find like a diamond in the rough, somebody that's getting kicked around TV shows and can't find a landing spot.
I'm going to go with my guy. He's hot right now, but he wasn't always hot, and I liked him before he was hot, not in a physically attractive way. Give me Bob Odenkirk. I think the Bob would play this role real well. And he might be the type of guy who goes for like an artsy job instead of like a pay me a lot of money job.
Yeah, I like the. I think he's aging out of how old I'd like the character to be, but I don't hate it. I was hoping like the character would be like mid-30s, early 40s at the latest.
All right, so mid-30s, normal-looking people.
Mid-30s.
As you can tell, I did a lot to prep for this show.
You know, like who I like, but he's not. Like, he's too popular, it'd be like a Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I couldn't even say his name.
Joe, this is insane, because that's exactly who I was thinking of as you were struggling to say that. But he wouldn't work, because he's, one, very attractive, and two, he's, like, amazing. He's a big deal right now.
James McAvoy, is he still popular?
I mean, he's been doing X-Men movies, so I think he's doing pretty well for himself.
How old's Ben Foster now? He's got to be in his...
I don't even know who the hell Ben Foster
is. Oh, man, he's a great character actor. He's in...
6 Feet Under, Freaks and Geeks, Flash Forward. Yeah, he's in all those things, because I Googled him. I don't know who he is. I don't recognize him. He almost looks like a Scott Kahn.
Yes, but he's I don't want to go on a Scott Kahn thing.
If there's ever a time to do it, it's now. Scott Kahn is 5'5". Holy crap.
For real?
Yeah, he's only 5'5". He's a little guy.
James Franco's kind of on a free fall. We could probably get him.
Nah, I mean, that's actually not a bad call. He does a lot, though, James Franco.
But he's like, he does like General Hospital a lot of times, like randomly. He would take a weird project. Yes, I know, because my wife watches. He does weird projects from time to time.
All right, James Franco, done.
All right, so then, you know what's also not a bad, I'm looking through like people's names. Jason Ritter would be a horrible choice.
Jason Ritter. Who's Jason Ritter?
John Ritter's kid. He was in like Freddy vs. Jason, a couple movies. They tried.
Yeah,
to give
how him, do you not know this guy who was?
Well,
in
no,
Freddy
but
versus
he,
Jason,
he
like, was nothing else.
He tried. They tried to give him like after Freddy vs. Jason. They tried to give like movie studios try to give him like his own vehicles. Like
he was in Parenthood. He was in Parenthood, and I think that show's a big deal.
Oh, okay.
He looks a lot like John Ritter, though. That's amazing.
Oh, he does. All right, we're going to go with James Franco.
James Franco.
so James Franco out of...
Jinx. All right.
We need the second female lead. The only other parts we have to book for sure are the second female lead, or she's the first female lead, and then the guy in the suit.
Jessica Alba. Done.
No, it's not... Jessica Alba is not going to do United Arcadia Flight whatever.
James Franco might be a bigger deal than Jessica Alba right now. So what does that mean? I have to settle for somebody less than Jessica Alba?
No, I want somebody a little more actor-ish-y.
Whoa!
I don't know. Just...
Whoa. That hurts. All right. Actresses who are actor-ish-y.
Like, good act. Like, I don't want to see. I feel like this is me going to be slandering actors.
Yep, Jessica Alba's going to get pissed when she finds out.
Actresses, I'm going to go under 40.
How bad do I have to reach here? Like, to not get... How not good does this actress have to be in terms of, like, yeah, they're going to be really expensive, Jared?
Well, like, Jessica Biel right now is in that limited-time series on USA. So she's falling down. Is she a good actress?
Feasible.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is she considered a good actress?
Probably not. Not
better. Well, you know who I like, who I don't know is a good actress at all, but who I've had, like, a crush on since the first movie, is Jordana Brewster.
I don't know who she is.
She's in all the Fast and the Furious movies. She's Paul Walker's love interest.
I've never seen the Fast and Furious movies.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's on the list.
Oh, you know
really.
Who's... Okay, she's a little bit younger than James Franco, so now we're getting the weird age thing. But she's fallen off completely. Hayden Panettiere.
Come on, man. She's not even a person anymore. And you didn't say her name even remotely correct.
Well, it doesn't matter. People know who I'm talking about.
Sure, you can give me Hayden Panettiere. Look, you're the director.
No, this is, you're supposed to help me here.
How old do you think she is, Hayden Panettiere?
Like 25.
Holy crap, do you know who she's married to? She's 27.
One of the Klitschko brothers.
She is, you knew this?
Yeah, that's how I knew of her name, yeah.
They have a child together, too. That's insane, man.
Yeah, she's probably older than 40, but Leslie Bibb.
Leslie Bibb, you keep saying these people that I don't know, and I'm not one of those people who's like, I don't know anybody.
Listen, if you, I'm telling you, when this show's over,
I know she is. I know
tweet out and say, like, hey, Leslie Bibb's a fox.
Does she play, she plays the wife in Talladega Nights.
Yeah, she plays a bunch, and, like, she's not
and young. Everything else.
She's
42.
Yeah, and she's a...
She's not a good actress, though, is she? Like, for this role that you're talking about...
I'm trying to think of, like, people in the Franco age bracket.
Dude, give me Rosario Dawson.
Okay, she's a great actress. Could we afford her? What network do you think would pick up the show? Is it, like, Sci-Fi Channel, then?
We're definitely... And this is no offense to USA. USA's got Mr. Robot, so they're on the up and up. This is probably a USA vehicle.
Well, then we could probably get...
Maybe Spike. Might not be
Spike. They just did The Mist. They're trying to make that into a television series.
Don't ever say, that's a bad channel, but I just watched the show that they did.
Well, I tried to watch the show. Also, I'm pitching basically a TV show based on two short stories I wrote that nobody read. So,
I want Rosario Dawson, who's dating Eric Andre. Shout out to
him. I'm going to run through a couple of quick names. You tell me if you take them over Dawson, who I'm fine with, by the way. Rachel Bilson.
No. I don't know who she is.
I can't pronounce her last name, but she's like in Firefly and...
I'd be okay with Rachel Bilson.
Yeah, so would I. Summer Glau. She's from the 4400, but she's also in Firefly, Terminator, Sarah Chronicles.
No.
Is Allie Larder still alive?
I don't want Allie Larder. She'd probably be in our wheelhouse. Not a great actress. I mean, no shade to Allie Larder. She's done a lot of good stuff. She's not the road trip actor I want to get here.
All right, Camilla Bell.
Oh, my God. Who the hell are these people?
Camilla Bell, she was in Don't Pick Up a Stranger, Don't Call a Stranger, or Don't Pick Up the Phone. She used to date one of the Jonas Brothers. She vanished from acting.
How the hell do you know who these people are? No, I don't. She's cute. I'd take her. I mean, look, here's the bad thing about me right now, is I'm judging these actresses who I've never seen any of their movies based on how cute they are. This is why I think we should try to get Rosario Dawson if we can't.
She's a double threat. We know she could act.
Right.
All right. So now we need...
Camilla Bell's a little younger, too. She's only 30.
Oh. You know what I'd actually want over Rosario Dawson is Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She was in 10 Cloverfield Lane, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
She's solid.
She's a really good actress. You know that, though, like, for sure. We know Dawson's going to... You know, let's do Dawson because we just don't want a bunch of white people all over the TV show.
Definitely. Let's get some ethnicity here. James Franco and Rosario Dawson.
All right. So now we need the evildoer who's... We think evil might not be evil, we're not sure, but he's like the main opposition to Jared Mintz's character, who's in the suit that he sees at every time he lands at an airport.
You know what? I'm talking about watching Mad Men. I think John Slattery would be great here.
I do not know who John... Let me Google John Slattery.
You're the worst.
Well, I don't know John Slattery. Ooh, I do know who John Slattery is now that I see his picture.
I was about to say, how old do you think John Slattery is? But you Googled him, so his age definitely came right up. I'm shocked this man is 54 years old. I'm watching the early seasons of Mad Men, and he's supposed to play like a dude in his mid-50s at least, and he's like in his early 40s in the show.
Well, the picture I'm looking now, he doesn't look bad for 54, but like, he looks...
Well, he's got white hair. He's a great-looking guy.
No, he is a good-looking guy. Man, I was kind of... Listen, the guy has to look foreboding. It can't be like a overweight guy, or... It could also be a woman, for what it's worth. It has to be look somebody that's scary and that demands... Attention.
So the man in the suit cannot be a woman, all right? Let's just...
Well, I use the man in the suit to describe him. It could be a woman in a business outfit. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, look, it's adaptive, okay? We could do whatever we want to do with it. I mean, that'd probably be cool, too. You could probably do that, but...
You know who I really like, but I would have to ask him to lose weight?
He's doing who?
And I don't... He might have aged out of this because he's 58 now, but I've always liked him as an actor as Vincent D'Onofrio.
He's another one. His name's D'Onofrio.
Whatever. I can't pronounce... Listen, I do this with college basketball, the sport I literally cover. Before I interview coaches, I have to ask the SID how to pronounce their name to make sure I know it right.
Good of you, man. Good hustle. Yeah, he'd probably be great at that, too. I'm not about to ask 58-year-old Vincent D'Onofrio to lose weight, though. And he's huge. I think the dynamic between him and Franco would just be like... I don't know, man.
Well, he is being in 2017. Man, he's such a good actor, and I feel like we can afford him.
We can go D'Onofrio here. I gotta tell you this. Slattery might be too big time for us. Let's do D'Onofrio. I think it's a fine call. I just feel like you're staying too close to your wheelhouse, recommending all these actresses from, like, the 4400 Club and all these garbage movies now you're pulling a D'Onofrio on
D'Onofrio's not from anything. I like
you don't let me get Jessica Alba and you get all your people? This is garbage.
All right. there's four. You can pick all four. Four side characters. We don't even know if the men or women. Pick them up. Go ahead, cast them.
No, it's fine. We're doing fine with this. D'Onofrio's fine.
All right, so we did the pilot episode. We have our cast.
Actually, D'Onofrio might be too big time for us. Isn't he in I don't watch it, but isn't he in Daredevil?
Yeah, but
he... Or did he die? I don't know.
Well, maybe he died. He probably... is Daredevil popular?
I think so. I think it's pretty successful.
Oh. God bless you.
Thanks, man. I had to get in that quick nose blow. Had to do it. Had to do it.
We're not going to do the second show. We're not going to do the second show. So instead of doing the second show, so we did the pilot. Now let's do the finale. All
right.
We're skipping five seasons.
It's amazing that we started off this show concept talking about The Leftovers, and now here we are, and it's like, dude, the clock is running. We got to wrap this up. Let's just get out of finale already. So what do you envision? I mean, you wrote the book.
Yeah, well, two short stories. Let's not make it sound too fancy here. I envisioned the book to be episodic and keep doing it. And then nobody read the first two, so I was like, why am I going to keep doing this? But my idea of this was on the way to unveil all these crazy things, like basically that the government, this is D'Onofrio's character who he represents, is they knew that over flying over certain areas at certain times with certain weather patterns that it basically takes people, and they were trying to purposely diminish the population. And it wasn't only Jared Mintz's character. They were doing this unbeknownst to Jared. They were doing this internationally with multiple flights all the time, that this was their way to try to decrease the world's population. And then Jared would find out heading into the last season, and he really couldn't solve the issue, so he did the same exact thing that the first pilot did to him, he does to somebody else to get out of it. He basically gets himself killed on purpose.
Oh. Ooh. I mean, that works. Might as well.
But the big twist is, like, during the series, he realizes the government's in on it, a lot of the governments are in on it. And this is happening internationally. He's not the only one that's involved.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah, and it's a way to try to cure the overpopulation of Earth.
That works, man. That's really interesting. I hope this gets picked up for a show. Gonna take the under on Ennio Franco, Rosario Dawson, or D'Onofrio, or whatever you want to call him.
By the way, I apologize if any actor, God forbid, hears any of this. Apologies in advance for messing up your name. I can barely pronounce my own name correctly.
It's true. I've heard it. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Although, you know what stinks, and like, I won't go into too deep in depth because nobody cares, but I mentioned this kind of on Twitter, is that idea I think would be good for, like, if I did it more thought out than I kind of did here on the podcast. It's the worst short story I've written. I love all my short stories, but all the other ones are basically about serial killers. And Dexter's already been done. Do you know what I mean?
But I heard Dexter wasn't done very well, so maybe you can get in there and clean up, like, those later seasons, which I heard are trash.
They are. They should have, like, listen, after season four, the fifth one, they should have went in and gone, this is it. And they should have wrapped it up after the fifth season, after they killed, after they killed his wife at the end of the fourth season, when John Lithgow character kills her. So in the fifth season, they should have wrapped it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard.
But, like, my serial killer, because I have one that's, like, actually, for all the Jonah Dong fiction fans out there, all the serial killer ones I write, it's all the same serial killer, even though I don't mention it in the books. And his big play is that, and he's based in Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. That's where he lives, because I think that's what most fiction writers do. They base their stories in their hometowns. His most prideful aspect, his redeeming quality, is that he doesn't have any preferences in how he kills. He doesn't care if you're black, white, Asian, Mexican. He calls, like, the city's bigots and racists, and that he will kill without regard for, you know, he has no preference.
Damn, man. That's cold. Cold world.
Yeah.
I look forward to this being adapted into film and the name being changed to something way cooler than Jared Mintz. But good stuff, Joe. Thanks for sharing.
Whatever.
You made me feel weirder.
Thanks for sharing.
This is a project that's been near and dear to you, and you shared this with the world on our audio, baby. I mean it, genuinely. You gave us content for a show. Thank you.
Go read my short stories, Relatively Speaking Podcast thing. They're all free.
There it is. Where can they find them?
Smashwords. Or Amazon. I have one in print that nobody bought.
All right, guys.
Thanks for nobody for buying my fiction books. If you guys read my fiction and bought it, I don't have to do this crappy sports writing for a living.
Joe, maybe this is going to be the boom. Maybe this is the episode that gets thousands.
No, because my fiction writing is, like, I'm not trying to be modest. They're objectively bad.
That doesn't sound very modest at all. I don't know what that is, in fact. Don't trash yourself. Don't sell your product for less than it is. I'm sure it's amazing.
I'm selling it exactly for what it's worth. It's free.
Indeed. All right, guys. Smash Words, did you say?
Smashwords.com, and they're also on Amazon. I will not put the link there. I hope nobody heard me say it real quick.
I hope you put the link in our fan rag page. Don't be silly. Joe, sell yourself. It's good stuff. I read it. I may not have read it. But I read it, and it was very good, and I really enjoyed it, and I think Joe is a very talented writer, so don't listen to him when he puts himself down.
Hamburgers. All right, let's move on to our last segment.
All right, we got some AMAs to do. Do we have AMA music?
We do. Seal, you lovely human being. Hit the music. Also, enjoy the ads.
Ask me anything, Jared will answer. Ask me a question, Twitter.
AMA music is the Cheers music, isn't it?
No, no. Cheers was something else completely. I think that was in Brave Debate, wasn't it?
No, was it?
AMAs is actually Seal, I believe. I believe AMAs is actually Seal.
I swear to God, I listened to every episode of the podcast. I just can't remember right now because
I made the music. I don't remember which ones are which.
Very good. All right, so we have a special AMA edition today brought to you by the Knicks Wall. All of the questions. We got six tremendous questions from our good friends, Trey, who's at Trey Zingas, and Kyle Maggio. I'm real sorry, Kyle. You're the man. I just didn't know if it was a hard G or not. But Maggio NBA and Trey Zingas, both guys from the Knicks Wall, both are awesome Twitter followers, and both are awesome AMA question askers. They've definitely been asking questions on the pod before, and they blessed us with incredible questions for today that we didn't even want to take any other user submissions, just the Knicks Wall podcast folks' questions for
Way, in the future, we're going to have a Relatively Knicks Wall special edition of the Relatively Speaking podcast.
It's going to happen. I can't wait. All you Knicks fans or all you people who think I'm insane for talking about the Knicks, it's going to be your favorite episode ever. All right, Joe, let's get into it. I'm going to ask the first question.
Go on.
I'm going to go first. The question that I'm going to ask you is a Kyle question, which I really, really liked. Kyle asks, would Mighty Mouse or Jerry from Tom and Jerry win in a fight to the death? Joe, I'll give you first. I'll give you first digs.
Mighty Mouse. Low key is a wussy. So let's get that out there.
Whoa, why do you say that?
Well, one, he's a mouse. Two, like, what's his superpower? He's strong for a mouse.
He's got strength. But yeah. He's not just strong for a mouse. He's strong for, like, an anything.
Is he?
If I remember Mighty Mouse correctly.
I haven't watched Mighty Mouse probably since I was six. I don't ever remember him, like, lifting up heavy things.
I don't really remember him either.
Well, listen, Tom and Jerry's a better cartoon. So that mouse, and he's smart. He picks his spots well. He's like a heel wrestler. Like, you know, like, even though the bigger, stronger guy might be winning, he'll sneak in the eye poke to sneak out the victory. And that's how I think that'll go down.
Yeah, I got Jerry here too in a landslide, which is nuts because it's kind of one of those things like, and this is a little bit of McGregor Mayweather where it's like, well, one of these guys does this thing all the time. Actually, no, it's not. It's nothing like that. They're both constantly fighting for their life. Both of them constantly fighting for their life. And Jerry seems to enjoy it more than Mighty Mouse, which is why I was going to pick Jerry. Like you mentioned, he's clever. He'll put on makeup if he has to. He can talk sometimes. Like, I don't think Mighty Mouse has the capability that Jerry has, even though he might be closer to a superhero. Jerry's got the wits. This is almost like Batman versus Superman. And like, I'd probably take Superman in that one, but I'm going to take the Batman version here.
I feel like this is Batman.
Jerry's just a guy, okay? Jerry's just a guy.
I feel like this is Batman versus Joker, where Batman has all that crazy technology and gadgets, and he's the superhero, and Joker's just like kind of a crazy guy with great ideas.
Jerry's but Joker the crazy doesn't win.
Joker right. would win in the real world. So, yeah, that's why Jerry's going to win.
Shout out to Joker. All right, Joe, you're up next with the question.
All right, this one's from Trey. We're going to go right into Knicks land here. Is Ron Baker the worst player in league history with a no-trade clause?
did it come out that he has a no-trade clause? I don't think that's accurate.
I don't know. I didn't research whether or not he did or not. I assumed it to be true.
Here's what I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess that Trey meant to ask if he's the worst NBA history to have a question. Oh, man. Yeah, he does have a no-trade clause. What on earth is that about? Yes.
Great
the
agent.
Answer is yes.
Yes, the answer is yes. It's an easy... I researched players with no-trade clauses before. Like 3 years ago, there was like only three players in the NBA with them.
Yeah, it was LeBron, Dirk, and Melo.
Yeah, and before that, Garnett was one of them. Right. So, yeah, this is easily, it's very easy, and that's nothing against Ron Baker. I want his agent to sell my shitty fiction, apparently, because how the hell does he have a no-trade clause?
Dude, just sell it to the Knicks. They'll give you a four-year deal for $71 million. All right, that's enough Knicks for now. Good question, Trey. Way to keep us on our toes. I'm going to do another Trey question so we don't wind up you doing all the Treys and me doing all the Kyles. Trey's other good – well, he had two other questions. This is incredible. Why is it almost impossible to be able to guess how hard a person can throw a baseball solely based on appearance? I don't know that there's really an answer for that, but it's a great question.
Well, listen, all I know is, like, so, like, at, like, picnic events, you have those things you can throw the baseball and tell you the speed that it comes out of. I always assumed for the longest time that larger-sized people will throw the ball harder.
Right.
That's not entirely true, because you need some form of hand-eye coordination and athleticism. So I think that's what it throws off, because you would just assume the biggest person always throws the hardest, but that's not even close to accurate. You have a better chance, if you're a good athlete, to throw the ball harder if you're bigger. But, like, just normal human population, it is just, you have no idea. It's like scratching off a lottery ticket.
Right. I mean, and you look at some of these guys, like, you look at, like, the Weaver brothers, and it's like, these guys are like brooms with limbs. Like, there's no way they could throw a baseball, and it's like, oh, crap, they really throw, like, 99 miles an hour. You can't guess, man. You never know.
Who's the hippie that used to? Tim Lincecum. Like, how the hell did he throw hard?
I don't know, man. The guy who definitely was a hippie. I remember when he got arrested with an eighth of pot in his car, which, shout out to Tim Lincecum. Yeah,
He was, like, the best pitcher in baseball for a short span, correct?
He was up there.
Or pretty close to it.
Yeah, he was definitely one of those guys. Man. All right, Joe.
And then they get stuck with evil, no fun Madison Bumgarner instead.
That guy is no fun.
No. Okay, so this next one's from Kyle. I'm going to go with this one. Is gang sign John Wall superior to untucked jersey Kyrie Irving?
I don't know, man. It's really tough. Those guys are great. Gang sign James Harden is great. Anybody that throws up gang signs is just incredible.
I'm crossing sports here, but Charlie Garner, gang sign, NFL Charlie Garner, he's up there.
Oh, wow. Wow, you really brought it back. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, though, the X?
Yeah, I remember. If I have to give an answer here, untucked Kyrie is just like probably the best ever. Like, that guy can score on anybody in any circumstance. As much as I love gang sign John Wall, like, he still has his limitations. At the same time, I think John Wall is the better basketball player. Both of these guys, no gang signs, tucked in jerseys. I'm taking John Wall 10 times out of 10. Untucked Kyrie Irving is like a superhero. It's like Clark Kent goes in a booth.
All right, follow-up question. Untucked Kyrie Irving, everybody else has played with their tucked shirt, their shirts tucked in. Uniform tucked in. Is he the top 5 player in the NBA?
Yes, top okay. 1.
See, so basically, the NBA dress code is holding Kyrie Irving from being a top 5 player. I agree with that statement.
Untucked Kyrie Irving is Mario with the star.
Whoa. Okay.
And I love Kyrie.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I think we cover this accurately, and I think that's the perfect analogy. Kyrie Irving is Mario with the star. Next question.
All right. I'm going to go the easy route here and ask a question that I don't really know the answer to, so I can answer the other that I do have a good follow-up for. Are you familiar with Wilt Chamberlain's alleged alias, George Marcus, was Trey's last question.
I am.
George Marcus.
I am.
You are. I'm so happy that I asked that question then, because I was not.
I'm also glad you asked it, because I didn't have it up on my screen for whatever reason.
What a dummy.
So supposedly some dude on Reddit, just a few months ago, I guess back in May, maybe?
Yes.
Figured out, or thinks he figured out, that when Wilt was 16, he was actually playing professional basketball for a team called the FaZe, while he was in high school, scoring 32, 40 points a game, like doing insane Wilt Chamberlain things, and nobody could find out, and there's picture, supposedly, I do air quotes because, you know, Photoshop, but there's supposedly picture evidence of him. Wilt, when he was in college, denied it. Then you would think after, like, when he was an adult, he'd say, yeah, that was me, but he never did, so...
if these pictures are real, then that's probably him.
Well, here's the issue, though. Like, why wouldn't Wilt cop to it after he made it to the league?
I don't know, man. Maybe he was sworn to secrecy. Maybe they knew he was really Wilt Chamberlain, and they were like the league was in on it too.
So now you're going giant conspiracy here. Like, they're like, hey, yes. we're in a child labor. We're going to use child labor here and grab Wilt and throw him in here, and not be able to promote him because we can't let people figure out that he's 16 years old.
Right. I mean, well, here's the thing too. Looking at these pictures, like, he's a really skinny guy in these pictures. Like, he looks like he could be, you know, a 15-year-old giant or whatever in these pictures.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I didn't read it, like a couple months ago, and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So I didn't do like a ton of research on this. So like, this is on me for not following up to Trey's question and doing more research. But like, when did he stop playing? This guy stopped playing, like the other name, Matt Wilt, stopped playing professional basketball. And what was the explanation given to the press?
Right, that's a good question.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Just disappeared? Like, he went back to his planet? Like, how did that work?
Yeah, like, then somebody go like, oh, you had this really young center that was scoring 40 points a game. Why isn't he back? Like, do you think somebody would ask?
Right. Well, I mean, the media was different, and it is semi-professional for Quakertown, so, you know. But you're right, there should have been follow-up questions.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
All right, Joe,
you have no thoughts on this because you have no idea what Trey was talking about, right?
Yeah, I mean, I looked it up, so I
did. Did you think that was like a pseudonym for him to like where he would go to hotels and
yes,
stay speaking?
That's what I was hoping. All good. All right, what's our last
question? Oh, I'm sorry. From Kyle is, oh man, this is a name one. You read it.
Oh, come on.
Nikola Jokic better than Michael Jordan and Bron already.
What the hell was so bad about that? Nikola Jokic, Michael Jordan?
Oh, Nikola Jokic, I was afraid. Is Nikola Jokic better than Michael Jordan and Bron already?
Right. So Kyle asked this question stemming off of a Nikola Jokic to Marcus Cousins debate, which I guess started on B-Ball Breakdown. And I got to say, no, obviously Nikola Jokic isn't better than Michael Jordan and LeBron. I'm sorry if you were expecting me to say otherwise. He's very, very good. I don't know if I want to go into he's the most underrated player in basketball, but I think a lot of people are coming out and thinking he's the most overrated player in basketball because as weird people are saying, VORP Twitter, basically the segment of Twitter, and not even just Twitter, but people who care about basketball and follow basketball and do it with an eye on analytics, consider him to be incredibly, incredibly underrated. I was trying to think who it was. Kevin Ferragan called him a top 10 player. Kevin Ferragan, who's NBA couchside on Twitter, called him a top 10, approaching top 5 NBA player earlier in the summer. And a lot of people wanted to react and thought it was the craziest thing put out there. For me personally, I don't know if I can call him top 10 yet. But really, I mean, if we're looking at stats here, which I lean more towards stats than eye test and other stuff, it's kind of hard to knock what this guy's done his first 2 years of his career. He's incredibly efficient offensively. I mean, even just watching highlights, which is the other thing that kind of drives me crazy. Like, even if you watch this guy's highlights, I mean, they're as fun to watch and as incredible and awe-inspiring as like DeMarcus Cousins' highlights. So I don't think it's that crazy to ask if a guy who's been making a positive impact his first couple years in the league, putting up unprecedented numbers, like all around on offense with great efficiency, is better than a guy who has earned a reputation for being difficult to build around, hasn't made the playoffs his first 7 years, gets traded to New Orleans and doesn't necessarily make them any better. I'm not blaming him for New Orleans not being great, but like, I understand why there's cynicism towards DeMarcus Cousins, and I understand why there's upside and, you know, praise for Nikola Jokic. At the same time, I mean, my answer to that poll question was they're about even because I kind of feel like that's where we are. I think they're both top 20 or so players, and I'm okay with that. I just don't know why this has turned into like a witch hunt of VORP Twitter versus eye test Twitter, and neither side seems to be able to stand each other.
I think something you tweeted on Wednesday is probably the most accurate thing that can be said when it's VORP Twitter versus eyeball Twitter, whether it's eyeball Twitter versus stand Twitter, whatever, is the basketball community on Twitter is no longer communal. Maybe we should just all stop.
You know what? I didn't want to say that, but like at the same time, like I've been really busy at work lately, and I used to do a lot of my tweeting during my 9 to 5 because you know you catch breaks during the day, and it's easy to look at what's happening in sports and what's going on in the news and just fire off a couple tweets. I've been really busy lately, and anytime I do hop on Twitter, anytime I do get a break to do that, it's always fighting, it's always subtweeting, it's always Chris Paul is the worst player ever, and you got to be an idiot who's married to stats to think he's really good, or it's, wow, you're the dumbest person ever if you don't realize how good Chris Paul is. Like, there seems to be no balance, and I don't know where this happened, but kind of sucks.
No, I'm totally with you. Nuance is forever lost in our sports conversation. It's always best, worst, there's no in-between. It's overrated, it's underrated, you're not allowed to be properly rated. And I won't say what the subject was, but I was talking to Jason Pat today about something about Twitter, how it's given certain people a platform to be publicly embrace beliefs they always had and be able to share it and feel like they don't have any repercussion. So what happens is you're giving educated and uneducated people these platforms to create an echo chamber where all they're hearing is all the things they want to believe, So if you're not Chris Paul fan, oh yeah, he's not great. He's not great. So then when you meet the person that says Chris Paul is good, you're like, no, you're wrong. All these other people in my echo chamber all says he's horrible. And then that other person who might be educated or not, it has the same thing. He has his own echo chamber where he's saying Chris Paul's greatest. Here's why. Chris Paul's greatest. And then when he's encountered with Chris Paul isn't the greatest, he's like, you're an idiot. Because all these other people tell me how he's the greatest. You know what I mean? So Twitter sucks, but it's also great.
Twitter does suck. Joe, what's your answer to that question? Has Jokic surpassed LeBron and Michael Jordan?
Naturally.
Obviously. There it is. Kyle, Trey, thank you guys so much for the answers. We look forward to you guys in the future and getting your AMA questions. Shout out to you guys. Shout out to the Knicks wall. Make sure you're following all those folks, especially if you're a Knicks fan. There really isn't any reason to not be following Kyle, Trey, and the rest of the awesome dudes at the Knicks wall. Shout out to Bailey Carlin and, geez, there's so many of those dudes. I don't want to leave them out. Reed Goldsmith. I have to shout everybody out. I can't just name four of them and not name the rest of them. Ryan Punzalan, my guy Ryan Punzalan. All right, I guess I should probably stop.
You're not going to remember everybody's name. Everybody else at the Knicks wall. Thank you.
Yes, those are my guys. I really like them a lot. Good Twitter people, good people in general. Shout out to the Knicks wall. Joe, shout out to you. I have one more suggestion for our show. What about Jesse Plemons as the guy in the suit? Todd from Breaking Bad.
Oh, dude, I'm in it. Do you think he's too young?
He might be. But he's also the type of dude who, you know, would hold you hostage with a gun to your head.
Man, I'm in it. But if we don't want to like, stick him into, like, his niche role, we all think of him, he'd be one of the side characters. He could play, like, the young, weirded-out dad that lost his family.
Either way, Jesse Plemons, we want you if you want in.
Yeah, so I'm totally with him. I like him as an actor.
Everybody, give us your suggestions. You know where to find us on Twitter. Suggest things for our show, and make sure you go and read Joe's books wherever you can get them. You can follow me on Twitter at JMintsHoops. Catch my basketball writing at FanRag Sports. Joe, before you sign off, good luck with your scheming this weekend.
Yes, if I'm not arrested over the weekend, I'll tell you the stories Monday. You can find me on Twitter at Joseph Nardo. Yeah, exactly. I feel like I might run into you for some reason this weekend. Joseph Nardone, NARDONE, also fanradiosports.com.
All around me are familiar websites, worn out clickbait, worn out hot takes. Bright and early for the daily link dumps. No one's clicking, no one's clicking. Their pee-poos are filling up their pockets. But not for writers, not for writers. Hide my head, I want to do a slideshow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The internet in which I'm worthless is the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it too hot to take. When people blog in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad.